What's up, everybody? I absolutely love doing this show. This has been such a wonderful opportunity for me, and it has been amazing the things that I've been able to experience in such a short time. I really appreciate all the support that we've been getting, all the love that we've been getting. Last time I checked, it seems like I think we're up in like 7 different countries: Russia, New Zealand, Japan, Hungary, Canada. Canada popped up the other day, so that's amazing to me. I love doing it. That was the whole intention, was being able to spread this energy and spread this love and expand people's minds, and it looks like it's working. It looks like the thing that I wanted to happen is actually happening. Thank you for listening, everybody, and of course, we've got to thank our sponsors. Crystal Water Float Spa, located in Tooele, Utah. It's 40 West Vine Street. Go online and find them at crystalwaterfloat.com, and also find them on Facebook at Crystal Water Float Spa. Get in a tank already. Go back and listen to the episode that we did with the guys from Float On, and you can learn a lot about floating and the ways that it's going to help you spiritually, mentally, physically, all these benefits from floating, from just laying back in a tank full of salt water, for hell's sakes. Get out there, go float, get in a tank. You're going to love it. Go to Crystal Water, go find their stuff. We have to thank DeBry Man. DeBry Man's been sponsoring small businesses for the past 10 years. Podcast wouldn't be what it is without the help from DeBry Man. If you're loving the show, go check us out on Facebook at the Energy is Love Podcast. Email us, energyislovepodcast@gmail.com. If you like the show, subscribe. You can subscribe on iTunes, Google Play Music, tons of places. Basically, if there's a place to find a podcast, you can find our podcast. Send us some love. Subscribe. We'd love to hear from you. Leave a comment. Send us an email. Message us on Facebook. Let us know what you guys think. We love to get some feedback and some ideas. And just know that you're enjoying the show and that you're out there listening. Become a sponsor of the show. We are heard in over 7 countries across the world. We have over 200 subscribers. Contact us and let us know if you're interested, because we always, always would love to have more sponsors. Let us help you spread your message. Let us help you expand your business, your gifts, what you're doing for the universe. You know, even if you want to give us love in the form of cash, by all means, we're going to take it. We have a GoFundMe page set up. There's a link to it through our Facebook page. Go find it. Send us some love. Let us take your cash and turn it into energy, and then spread the message across the globe and shoot it out into the universe. If you want to be on the show, contact us. We're always looking for people. New and interesting people. If you've got a good message and you want to get it out there, if you want to share your story, if you're liking what we're doing, contact us and we can come out and interview you. We'd love to sit down with you, whoever you are. Yeah, you, I'm talking to you. We want to sit down and talk to you. We want to hear about your journey, your story. We want to hear about how the universe and your love of energy has changed your life. So contact us on Facebook. Email us at theenergyislovepodcast@gmail.com. The universe spins on energy. Energy is just love. And this is the Energy is Love Podcast. Love is energy. In this episode of the Energy is Love Podcast, I had the opportunity to interview Michael Phoenix. Michael's somebody who came to spirituality after an experience in 2009 where he died and crossed over. He came back with a different perspective and a different outlook on life. And he shares all of it, and he talks about all of it. We got into some really interesting topics and some really interesting kind of unique beliefs that Michael has. He's a Reiki master, and he works with clients and helps people experience unconditional love in their life and create that environment for them in that space. And so they get the opportunity to experience that unconditional love and see that there's more to life than stress and chaos and everything else that people kind of spin in. And Michael's in the process of creating a retreat up in Huntsville, Utah. It's up above Ogden. Michael's also involved with the Ohm Fest that's coming up later this summer in August. That's also up in Ogden. You can go online and check out Michael. Just search his name out in Facebook, Michael Phoenix, and find out everything that he does. And I hope you guys enjoy this episode of the Energy is Love Podcast. So stay tuned, because here we go with Michael Phoenix. Enjoy.
You're listening to the Energy is Love Podcast.
Energy is Love.
The Energy is the Love Podcast.
The Energy is Love Podcast.
Energy is Love.
The Energy is Love Podcast.
The podcast for the universe.
The Energy is Love Podcast.
What's up, everybody? Thanks for tuning in to the Energy is Love Podcast. My guest today is Michael Phoenix. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you so much for coming out and sitting down for the podcast.
My pleasure.
Michael, I'm excited because honestly, man, I don't know anything about you. We just chatted for a minute and I don't even know if we technically met before. We kind of run in the same circles and the same groups. And I think the common denominator is Anna Sierra. We know Anna. And we kind of follow her around, or I follow her around.
She's a wonderful being.
How long have you known Anna?
I was introduced to her about a year ago.
Okay. And you were at the last festival in May, and then did you do the one in January too that was at Union Station?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Well, tell me a little bit about yourself to start off with as far as kind of the realm of spirituality and energy work. What is it that you do?
Well, it kind of began in my childhood. I was always sensitive, and I could feel what other people were feeling. And my family was largely LDS and had no language for that.
Yeah.
And so I pretty much just suppressed it most of my life. And then after my divorce in 2009, I started to actually explore it more thoroughly. And I opened up into pretty much every spiritual, philosophical, or religious circle that I could find.
Just out there seeking that information.
Mm-hmm. I'd been largely scientific in my approach to reality most of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really into physics and quantum physics. And I liked space and the cosmos and all the what-ifs that were possible. But I also ultimately found it lacking. It didn't answer the most important questions for me, which was, why do I feel things? And science can't answer that.
Like in regards to kind of why do you feel and connect with other people and feel what they're feeling?
Well, yeah, or even just what is an emotion? They can't explain it.
Yeah.
There's literally no scientific explanation for what an emotion is other than a release of chemicals. But they can't explain it.
Mm-hmm.
They can't define it. They've done experiments where they've shown on MRI scans that your heart actually has brain cells in it.
Yeah.
And it can perceive things almost a full second before your brain. So your heart feels it first. So your heart's smarter than your head. They've scientifically proven that.
Yeah.
But they still can't explain why or how. And so I delved into as much as I could to figure that out. I started by going back to college, and pursuing a degree in psychology with a minor in sociology.
That's not bad.
Then I took philosophy just for fun.
Yeah.
And this was my second return to college.
Where did you get your degree from?
Oh, I didn't graduate. I wasn't interested in the degree. I was interested in the knowledge.
Yeah.
And, I mean, a philosophy degree is worthless. And a psychology degree is worth money if you're willing to work for the system. But mm-hmm. I'm not. So it was more of an exploration for me.
Just getting all that insight and all that information.
Yeah, I wanted to see the different perspectives. There's a psychological perspective. There's a scientific perspective, there's a philosophical perspective, and there's a spiritualist perspective. And all of these perspectives are similar, but they use different languages and different ways to define things.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to see what those differences were.
What did you find that you kind of resonated with the most? I know you said that, you know, growing up you were kind of science-based in your regards to thinking and kind of viewing the world, but has that changed?
Oh yeah, indeed. After college, after I had explored philosophy more deeply, I decided that philosophy, psychology, and sociology were basically all teaching the same thing. And so it's whichever one speaks to you, they all have tools that will help you understand reality. And that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Philosophy gives you the mental freedom to part from ego. You can ask any question in philosophy. There is no wrong question. There is no wrong exploration. And there is no right or wrong answer. You can come up with whatever answer you want as long as you can make an argument for it.
Do you have a favorite philosopher?
Oh, yeah. It's definitely Descartes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He was so far beyond his time that basically he wrote The Matrix. Back in 1300. So, you know, we have them to thank for that beautiful yeah. masterpiece. The idea of perspective is what he introduced to people. And he lived in a time where he could have been killed for that, for saying anything, even remotely against religion. He mm-hmm. could have been killed for that in his time. He actually had to flee his country and go live somewhere else to not get killed for that. And then before he died, he rewrote his last book, because the first time he wrote it, the Catholic Church said, you have to send it to us so we can edit it before it's published or we'll kill you. And so he had to do that. But he rewrote it the way that he wanted it and made sure that it would come out after he died so he didn't have to worry about them killing him.
Yeah. You know, we've come a long way, I think. Well, we've come a long way in regard to some things, and then we're probably still in that kind of space still today.
Well, it's definitely changing. I mean, there was a time not even all that long ago where if you had mentioned anything even remotely liberal, you could have been hung or burned.
Yeah.
And this is within the last century. This isn't a whole long time ago. This is very recent.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just the 30s that we really started to acknowledge slavery was bad. So, you know, it's in perspective, we've grown a lot in a very short time.
Do you feel like since, like you said it was 2009 when you kind of started to expand and look for different avenues as far as the way of thinking and whatnot, do you feel like you've expanded in that time span? I mean, that's only like the last 7 years.
Oh, yes. It was not an easy journey, but...
I don't think anybody's ever is.
I mean, I took it the whole way. I explored Christianity and all of its different facets, and believe me, there are many, many, many. I've explored the Bhagavad Gita, the Quran, pretty much every religious text that's ever been written. I wanted my own perspective instead of what I saw on the news or what other people told me.
Yeah.
I wanted to read it for myself and see actually what it said, including the Bible, the Book of Mormon. I've read them all. You know, I'm one of those people that I won't make an argument on something if I don't know what I'm talking about. So
you won't just talk out of your ass.
No, if I haven't read the book, I'm not going to speak on it.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm talking about. So all I can say is, oh, huh, yeah, I'm not going to make something up. Mm-hmm. So the one that I guess was the beginning game changer for me was I read a book by Caroline Miss, and it explained energy to me in a way that nobody ever had. And it resonated with me because it was very similar to the way that I perceived energy in other people. Mm-hmm. And I'd never had that in anything that I'd read before. And I'd read stuff about mystics and auras, and I'd seen aura photography and done other things like that. But I couldn't explain me and what I was doing. Like, there were terms like empath that worked, but it didn't completely describe it for me.
I was going to say, because as you describe you know, growing up as a kid and stuff and being able to connect and feel what people are feeling, I mean, that's an empath to a certain extent. And
yeah, that was my first or my largest gift. I think it still is.
Yeah.
But I have others, or I've come into others along the way. But I guess the most important thing that I've learned in all of this is that every single person has a unique path. There are 7 billion people, and there are 7 billion ways to do things. There's no normal. Normal is a completely made up and arbitrary term, and it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
All normal is really is a system of control. It's a way to point at somebody else and say, you're different, so I'm better.
Mm-hmm. Anybody
can do that. Anybody can point at anybody and say, I'm better. What makes that okay?
Yeah.
There's nothing in this world that makes that okay. Nothing.
You talked about that book. What was the author's name again?
Caroline Miss.
And what about the way that she described energy that really just kind of made sense and synced in for you?
Well, she used 3 different ways. She used the Hindu chakras. She used the Christian sacraments, and she used the Kabbalistic Tree of Life. So she used 3 different, plus she has a master's in psychology and owned a private practice. Mm-hmm. So she understood many different aspects, and she was using a very straightforward and simple language that I understood, almost kind of transcended more complicated language. Like, she made it personal. She told stories about patients. She obviously changed the names to protect their identities, but she would tell stories to relate it to each energy. And it, like, makes it click in your head. Oh, okay. You know, because you're applying it to something real instead of just learning an arbitrary fact or figure.
Yeah, just talking out there in the cosmos with stuff.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of times, this is for me personally, when I started to expand and look into different things and learn about different things and experience different things, it really boiled down to, I could read a book, I could hear somebody else talk, I could learn a topic or learn about an idea. But until I had an actual experience, that's when it really kind of solidified. And so what do you remember, like, not necessarily the first thing, but what is some of the most profound experiences that you've had with energy that really just kind of sink at home, where you're like, okay, this shit's real. This is not just somebody's imagination that they created this idea or this concept.
That's a long story. my whole life, really. I mean, I would come in contact to people at elementary school and know their entire life story and not be able to explain why.
Mm-hmm.
And if I approached them and said something, all I did was scare them. You know, like, how did you know that? Oh my God. And
yeah,
it's over. Like, so I learned very quickly not to talk about it until later in my life. But I've had several very interesting experiences. In 2009, part of the reason I did get divorced was because I had an experience which I can't prove, but feels completely real to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was nobody there to witness it. Nobody can say one way or another what actually happened. But for me, the experience changed my life forever. And I died.
Mm-hmm.
And when I came back, I saw things very differently. And since that point of awakening, which is what I call it, I've been on a path to discover what it is I have awakened to.
Yeah. Do you remember do you remember anything from the time period that you were dead? Or was it more or less just coming back?
Oh, no, I remember the entire experience.
Do you?
Oh, yeah. I was laying on the couch, and my heart stopped. And I felt it stop, and mm-hmm. it stopped for almost a full 5 seconds. And I was like, okay, that's not right.
Yeah.
And so all of a sudden, I got really nauseous, and I jumped up from the couch and started running towards the stairs where the bathroom was downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to the landing, and it was made out of marble. And all of a sudden, everything started to go dark, and I felt my heart, like, skipping beats and doing funny things, and I knew I was having a heart attack. I knew unequivocally. And my arm, like, tightened up and curled up, and I couldn't move my neck. And I dropped to my knees, and I felt my knees hit the marble and crack. And then I pitched forward and went down the stairs on my face.
Hmm.
And by that point, I was no longer in my body. I was floating above it, looking down at it.
Yeah.
And watching it happen. And I saw my body go down the stairs, and I saw my neck break. And I knew I was dead, but I didn't care.
Uh-huh.
Like, there was no pain. I wasn't feeling my body anymore. I was just watching it very, almost casually.
Just a bystander.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, like, I had no attachment to it whatsoever. Like, I was just like, oh, okay. And I just kind of floated there for a minute. And then this is where things get hard to describe, because time is different in the next dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very third dimensional thing. And so you can experience great deal of time in a material second. It can be 1,000 years.
Yeah.
Because time is no longer relational. It doesn't. It's hard to describe.
No, I know what you mean. You know, somebody out there that's listening might not understand, but you're right. I mean, it is hard to describe, because time becomes
not just something that's kind of fluid, but I mean, you don't really have a parameter for it. I think that's specific to this realm and this dimension here on this earth, time and the way we view it and the way we kind of associate with it. But when you expand outside of that, it is difficult to explain, but I totally get what you're talking about.
Yeah. I call it linear thinking. We're trapped in linear thinking.
Yeah.
And the more we realize that linear thinking isn't real, that it's something we're just agreeing to do, that's when we become free.
Do you think there's a purpose for it in this? I mean, I don't care what we call it. Do you know what I mean? Because it's different for everybody else. And in the end, it doesn't really matter what you call it. But do you think there's a purpose behind that linear thinking or behind just the concept of time in relation to this realm and this planet and this experience that we're having here? Like, it serves a purpose to a certain extent, or do you think that it is just kind of a, like a control mechanism?
No, it serves a function. Mm-hmm. It's basically reality in a nutshell is God experiencing itself.
Yeah.
And so if you're having an experience, you're having that experience for God. That's cut and dry, pretty simple. Like, you're experiencing something for a being that is beyond your comprehension.
Mm-hmm.
But we're all doing it. It's not just one of us.
Yeah.
And so that's where we get into trouble, when we start saying, well, my experience is more valuable than your experience. It's not. I'm sorry. I'm sorry you feel that way, but it's not true.
Yeah.
Okay, everybody's experience is valid, and everybody has something to learn and to teach. Everybody. And by invalidating any opinion, you're taking the role of God, and that is a sin. You're saying that my will overrides, and everyone is equal. So how is that possible? You see what I'm saying? It's basically the same mistake that Lucifer made.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not a matter of whether or not you like it. It's a matter of whether or not you need that experience.
Mm-hmm.
And the way the karmic cycle works, you're going to experience both sides of that experience.
At some point.
Oh, yeah. In one of your lifetimes, you will.
Yeah.
If you were the rapist, you will be raped. If you were the murderer, you will be murdered. You have to experience both sides of the equation.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of one of those, once you accept that as the basic principle of karma and the basic law of the universe, just like physics or any other law, you start to realize that it does matter what you do. It makes a big difference.
It does.
Every day, to every single living thing that you come across, it makes a difference. Every blade of grass that you walk by, every leaf, every bug, every person, it makes a difference on.
Yeah.
Your frequency changes their frequency, and their frequency changes yours.
Yeah, and then we change the frequency of the universe.
Right.
With all those interactions and all those different things. Being brought up and raised LDS, that's what you said, right? You came up in a family that was Mormon.
Yes.
Do you still not necessarily hold those beliefs per se, but the beliefs of like Christianity and the belief in God and all those different things? Like, what is it that you've kind of come to now at this point?
Well, I believe that they're all describing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
The difference is like I said, there's 7 billion ways to experience, because that's how many people there are.
Yeah.
But what happened over time is certain groups of these people got together and agreed on a specific way. And it's not that they're wrong. It's not that their way is invalid.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that when any group, and I mean any group, I don't care if it's government, I don't care if it's a company, I don't care if it's a person, I don't care if it's a religion, but as soon as any group says that I'm right and you're wrong,
there's something
they're wrong. No longer listening to God. They're no longer listening to the way things work. There is no such thing as power over. There is only power with.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as you create a control dynamic or a power over dynamic, you are creating darkness.
See, I don't, because when I've gone into my own head and sat there and just pondered and thought about different things and, you know, kind of in conjunction with the experiences that I've had spiritually through meditation and dreams and different things like that. I find myself to a point where I don't necessarily believe in good or evil or light and dark or anything like that. I know there's duality in the universe, but for me, I just came to a point where I felt like everything's just energy, and it isn't until we label it good or evil that it kind of takes on that form. But for me, it's just all energy. That's why it's the Energy is Love podcast, because it's energy is just love.
Yeah.
And it's not, and even that is labeling it as something. But it's, you know, do you feel like there is good and bad evil, that there's darkness, that there's, do you know what I mean, some kind of aspect to the universe that way? Or is it more just everything is just energy?
Depends on what dimension you're in.
That's when you get like all sorts of crazy stuff starts to happen.
Now, I've been on many spiritual journeys, and I've seen many aspects of reality that most people are afraid to look at or wouldn't even comprehend, even if they did.
Mm-hmm.
But I've spent lots of time there, so I'm familiar, I guess.
Yeah.
And if I had to describe fourth dimensional reality to somebody, the way I experienced it, it is just spheres as far as you can see, floating all over the place, some of them inside of each other, overlapping. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. It's not third dimension, so you got to get rid of some of those,
yeah, some of those
misleading
concepts,
physical
beliefs.
Laws. And every sphere is of a different size, and the more thought energy that is put into a sphere, the larger it grows. So as you can imagine, there's some spheres that are massive because mm-hmm. they've been fed energy for thousands of years by millions of people. And then there's spheres that are just one thought by one person, and they're just teeny tiny.
Yeah.
And everybody's dreams and thoughts and desires and goals and every thought that they've ever had is there in that dimension. And you can experience any of them. You can go into that sphere and experience their reality at any time. So from that level of perspective, separation is an illusion. You can experience anybody's reality at any time. Any thought that they've ever experienced, you can mm-hmm. go into that sphere and experience it. What does that do to your sense of self to know that somebody can go into the fourth dimension and see any thought that you've ever had?
Yeah.
You can't hide anything. You can't be secret. You can't lie. So what does that do to your sense of self, your ego, your pride, your,
oh my gosh, what about that time I was in the corner?
Yeah.
No, like every thought can be seen in the fourth dimension. And so a lot of people can't handle that truth. They're working through it right now. I believe we're currently in an ascension phase.
Like for the planet?
Evolutionary ascension phase mm-hmm. for the entire planet. And we're all here to learn these things so that we can make this jump. We can experience these realities together and not fear them.
Yeah.
And then once you get beyond that, the fifth dimension, time gets really funny. Okay, time is more of a location, and eternity is a very long time.
Uh-huh.
So you can go anywhere in experienced reality. And the closest thing I can compare this to that I have seen is Men in Black 3. The being that's like, is this the reality where, or is this the reality where, or is this the reality where? Oh, this is the one where.
Yeah.
That's the way it really is. Okay, there's multiple realities stacked on top of each other. For every choice, free will choice that you make, there is an infinitude of multidimensional realities that spin out from that choice, where you experience every aspect that you can make of that choice.
See, I've thought that often too. I have this whole idea, and I mean, this is all my own personal belief stuff, right? And I've thought about that, where the universe is big enough, like infinite is bigger than we can possibly imagine.
Oh yeah.
So anything that we create in our head, what's essentially just a thought that we have, right? We create something in our imagination. It can instantaneously manifest and appear at some point in the universe somewhere. So I can picture this really bizarro, strange, whether it's a planet or, you know, it doesn't matter what I'm imagining, but suddenly it appears somewhere.
because the universe is big enough to hold that much space for not just the 7 billion people on this planet, but for everybody on every other planet, everywhere else. I mean, there's just enough space to hold that.
Exactly. There is. There's definitely enough space to hold all of that. And this is the part where people get scared. But it's understanding that you have to achieve a level of comfortability with letting go of definitions like good and bad and right and wrong to get to this point. Mm-hmm. But you are responsible for the things that you're creating. So if I go out and just, this is just a for instance, and I create a vision of, let's say, a movie where a lot of people get hacked brutally apart to pieces, and I create an experience where people can go and watch that and experience this feeling of horror, if you will. Okay, I am creating in the universe, in God, a horror. There's a responsibility for that. Mm-hmm. If you create a horror and you let other people experience your horror, what does that make you? You have personal responsibility for the things that you create. And I'm not labeling this good or bad. I'm not saying this is right or wrong. I'm just saying take personal responsibility for the things that you create. Yeah. If you're sending out negativity, be responsible for that. Own it. Know that's what you're doing. Accept that's what you're doing. Mm-hmm. You're creating fear. How does that feel? Some people enjoy it.
You're right. Some people do enjoy it. And some people
I'm not judging that. If you enjoy fear, enjoy your fear. Yeah. I don't want it. Personally, I don't enjoy fear. I don't like the way it makes me feel.
Yeah.
And I've consciously accepted my own responsibility in challenging my own fears. And that's pretty much the journey that I've been on since 2009 when I died, is examining what are my fears? What is my purpose? Why am I here? Is this all there is, or is there more to this? And I sought diligently every answer I could come across. And what kind of tied it all together for me was sacred geometry. Mm-hmm. Once I understood the basic pattern for all of creation, it all just kind of fell into place. It's like, oh, okay, I see.
See, I think that's where science kind of blends really, really beautifully with spirituality and all these different ideas and concepts, is through kind of sacred geometry, because there's math in it. Do you know what I mean? There's something that you can put down on paper and see the connection and see the correlation between things.
Oh, yeah. When every single thing that exists follows the same pattern, I don't care if you like that pattern or not. That pattern is real and it's God. Mm-hmm. Because you can't change that pattern. You can't cut yourself off from that pattern. You can't alter that pattern in any way. Now, you can choose which direction on that pattern you take, but you can't change the pattern. The pattern was there before you, and it'll be there long after you.
Because I was going to ask you, when you were talking, you talk about, as you kind of start to expand and you start to think about and learn and experience some of these different things, and whether you want to think of them as dimensions or realms or whatever, and some of these concepts and ideas, people have a really hard time embracing them because fear surrounding so much of it, like that whole concept of all these different spheres and the fourth dimension that holds everybody's thoughts and intentions and ideas and things like that, and people still want to hide. What for you kind of helped you get over that hump of fear in regards to all of these different things? You know what I mean?
Love.
See, and that's beautiful. It's the Energy is Love podcast. That's what it's all about. Because it's, I think so many times when I talk to people and they do have a hard time kind of embracing and wrapping their mind around things because they have the fear associated with it. And whether it's as simple as like the fear of death, right? There's a lot of people that move through life who are afraid of dying because it's the unknown, because we honestly, you know, everybody has their opinions, everybody has their beliefs surrounding what happens, but we don't technically know to a certain extent. And so what we don't know, we fear. But then when you can embrace, and when you can kind of open up, and when you can have some experiences, whether it's, you know, I don't know if you necessarily would call yours a near-death experience because you did die, but when you cross over and when you come back, which happens, then you don't have that fear anymore because you realize that it is just about love.
Yeah, there's an innate fear of death that your ego has. Mm-hmm. And in order to come into yourself, you have to deal with that fear. You have to deal with the shame involved in creating it. You have to deal with the emotions and things that you did while you were under that influence.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to heal it. And that's work. And most people are A, too afraid, and B, don't want to do the work.
Yeah.
So it really is a choice. And there's a lot of diversions in this world that allow people to forget that they're here for a purpose. They're here for a reason. We came here to do something.
Do you think we all came here for the same purpose and same reason? Or do you think it's individualized?
Both.
Yeah.
I think we all have an individual way to contribute to the whole. And it's important for us to support each other in that vision. Because there is a whole vision.
Mm-hmm.
Now, also, this is the reason why in certain plant medicine journeys, you experience your own death. Because there's two ways to deal with that. Physically experience it, or experience it in another way.
Yeah.
And it's the same reason, like, that the government would make you write your own obituary before you join the military in a certain fashion, because they're getting you to face your fear of death before you actually have a gun and go out to face death.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a certain sense in that. It's like, look, why physically die before you experience this? You don't have to. And that's something that the mystics have been teaching for thousands of years, and it's at the center of a lot of different religions. It's death is transcendable.
Yeah.
You don't have to die to die.
And death isn't the end, obviously.
Right. No, obviously. If you can die and come back, then obviously it's not. And if you're a Christian and you don't believe that people can die and come back, then I'd say you're not a Christian.
Yeah. I mean, you forget about Jesus, obviously.
Right. That was his point wasn't, I'm better than you because I can ascend. His point was, everyone can do this.
Uh-huh.
Everyone. I want all of you to come to me. He's waiting for us to come to him. Mm-hmm. He has been here, done that. You see what I'm saying? Like, uh-huh. Now it's our turn. Come to him.
Yeah.
And everybody thinks that that's something you have to do when you die. No, you can do that now. That was his point. The message is, live in the now. See the now. Feel the now. Jesus only had two commandments that he ever gave in any way. And you can read the entire New Testament, and there's only two commandments of Jesus. Love thyself and love thy neighbor like you love thyself.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And so both of them said love, love. And if you take that as the core of everything, you have a way to approach reality in a vibration that is consistent with that of God.
Yeah. And I like the fact that self-love is first. Because I think that's missing in so many different ways, where people, you know, people can wrap their minds around loving other people and treating them with respect and all of that kind of compassion, but then people have such a hard time reflecting and turning that back on themselves. Is that something that you struggled with?
Oh, yes, very much. I'm a Leo, so I'm already very prideful. And my astrological reasons or lessons in this lifetime, mm-hmm, are centered around leadership, pride, humility, patience, because those are the traits of a Leo.
Yeah.
So I have been humbled many times in many ways, and I won't say that I enjoyed them all, but I did learn from them all.
Cool.
That's basically all it means to be awake, is you're now taking conscious responsibility for the thoughts that you are generating,
mm-hmm,
because you have realized or awakened to the fact that every thought has power. It is real. It creates something.
Yeah, there's energy behind it.
All of your mystics, your Buddhists and your Hindus and your far mountain Confucian retreats, you know, they'll, yeah, all tell you the same thing. There's a reason, and this is an Osho too. Every thought has so much power at a certain level that you have to take careful consideration, and I mean long consideration, before you have a thought. Because once you do have that thought, there's going to be major energy behind it. Mm-hmm. And that is the principle of manifestation. But in order to get to that, you have to get through the law of attraction, which is based in karma.
Yeah.
And most people are still stuck there.
Yeah, most people are still stuck just in general. But tell me a little bit more, because if I remember right, I've seen some of your stuff, and you're a Reiki practitioner, is that right?
Yes, I do energy work. I call it soul integration.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically I help people wake up.
Yeah. So tell me kind of what that looks like if you're going to sit down and work with somebody. Where do you start typically?
Yeah, every situation is different. Usually I get them comfortable, get them to relax, and then I read them
mm-hmm.
and see where their issues are. And then I'll ask them to lay down, and I'll start doing energy work on their chakras and moving energy through. The point of this energy is basically to show them how life looks in that energy. And it's not going to last very long. Your natural tendencies are going to distort that and undo what I have done within 3 to 5 days. But it's an opportunity to experience something else for mm-hmm. 3 to 5 days and decide whether you like it or not. And that should be the basis on whether or not you come back. Like, you showed me something that I hadn't seen before, and I liked the way it felt. I liked the way my life has gone the last 3 days. I feel better. I feel more refreshed. I feel more energetic. What is this?
Yeah.
That's like, okay, now you're open to awakening.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're not, or you hated it. You didn't want anything to do with it. You're just like, oh my gosh, he pushed all my buttons and stressed me out. And what the heck is going on here? Well, some people are so deeply embedded in stress, and so they've become so comfortable with stress that to not be in stress feels uncomfortable to them.
Yeah, I tell people that all the time. I think a lot of times that, you know, whatever kind of chaos you spin in, especially if it's something that's been around and present in your life since the time that you were a child, that becomes your comfort zone. And then as soon as you kind of stretch outside of that, it gets really uncomfortable, and you want your security blanket, and you want to go back into that space even though it's chaos.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a hard cycle to kind of get people out of and get them to see differently, because so many people, you know, really, like you said, they're really comfortable in stress, and that's where they feel most at peace, even though it is stressful and chaos.
Where I see most healers struggling is when they don't take the time to heal themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And they allow the stresses of the system to do the same thing that they're telling other people not to do. And to me, that's the same thing that the church does. It's saying, do as I preach, not as I do.
Yeah.
And that I always have a problem when hypocrisy raises its head. You know, it's like, you can do whatever you want. This is a free willed universe. That's one of our gifts.
Yeah.
The responsibility comes from, you can do whatever you want to do. So maybe you should think about it.
Yeah. Spend a little bit more time rather than
even
just
better feel about it.
Yeah.
Because the mind can play tricks on you. The ego rests in the mind. The mm-hmm. ego believes you're going to die one day. It doesn't think, and it never will, that there's something after this, because it can't.
Yeah.
It's too attached to your nervous system. It's part of this body that you are in, and this body knows it's going to die. It's not stupid. It knows that it has a finite conclusion. Yeah. And so no matter how much your soul or your spirit or your heart is talking to your body and saying, no, you're not going to die, it's going, yeah, I am.
Yeah, I can see the writing on the wall.
Do you see, I realize you're not going to die, but I am. So yeah. Don't play games with me. Don't lie to me. I'm your ego. I know.
Yeah.
And so a lot of the issues that people develop around their ego is, and I see a lot of spiritual practitioners fall into this trap too, is that they think they're here to obliterate or destroy or completely ignore their ego.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not. You're here to heal and make peace with your ego, not kill it.
Yeah.
You know, your body is you too. This it is going to die one day. But that doesn't mean you can't love it while you're here. Doesn't mean you have to be mad at it for dying one day. Doesn't mean you have to take a defeatist perspective and say, well, I'm going to die, so I might as well whatever, insert what your justification is here.
Yeah.
No, it's, yeah, this body will die, but there's others. Mm-hmm. There's lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of others.
Yeah, and it's also just a good reminder that, I mean, shit's temporary.
Very.
You know, that's why it's important to be mindful in the moment and to treat everything with that same kind of symbiotic relationship and respect and love, because it's going to be gone tomorrow.
Yeah, and again, it's fear of change. Like, you can't be afraid of change, because change is the one universal constant.
Yeah.
Like, the absence of change is source, which would be the beginning of creation and unification. There wouldn't be us. There wouldn't be a universe. There would be one everything. Mm-hmm. There would be no difference of opinion in any way and on anything. It would all just be one. I guess the best way to just picture a giant white slate. Like, there's nothing. There's no difference of opinion. Uh-huh. So, in order for physical reality and all of these dimensions to exist, there has to be change. That is what evolution is. That is the system that God created. That is what the universe is. It's change. Before the universe existed was no change. It is because God decided to have change that all of this is here. And so to go against change is to go against the fundamental reason existence exists.
Yeah. It's an interesting perspective. I like that.
And it's just a journey. It's we get so caught up in, oh, I don't have time to. Oh, I don't have time to. That's all you have.
Yeah.
That's all the universe is time. You have an infinite amount of it. Mm-hmm. To do anything you ever want to do for as long as you can think of stuff to do.
You got time to do it.
You've got the time to do it.
Yeah.
You want to go back and live in Hitler's body and experience life through his perspective? You can. You want to go back and experience life through Mother Teresa? You can. This is all open to everybody.
Yeah.
Everything that you've ever done, anybody else can go back and experience it through your perspective if they choose to. The universe is a huge place, and there's so much to do. To be afraid of change seems very, very silly.
It does.
You know, it's like the longer you try to stay stuck somewhere, the more you're denying your own ability to experience.
Mm-hmm. Cheating yourself out of those experiences.
And it's not to say that what you're experiencing doesn't have value. It's to say that what you could be experiencing could have more value. Mm-hmm. So it's not to, I don't want to take away from anybody where they're at on their path. Not everybody's ready for the jump to ascension. You got to start where you're at. Wherever you're at is okay.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the biggest conflict I see in religion today, is you have a hierarchy. And in spirit, there's no such thing. We're all equal. We're all even. We're all welcome. We're all acceptable. We're all perfect.
Yeah.
So how do you tell somebody they're not perfect and they should be shameful and guilty when they are? And who are you to decide that?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, I do.
It's
I
not,
exactly
up, it's not up to us to tell people what's right and wrong. Mm-hmm. I didn't come here for that. I come here to show people a quality of love that they haven't experienced before. And I call it unconditional love.
Yeah.
And it's truly, truly frightening to most people. It's terrifying to most people. And I say that, and I can already hear people going, what do you mean love's scary? What do you mean unconditional love is scary? Well, in order to receive it, you have to be willing to give it. Like I said, every experience, you have to experience both sides of. And so if you're willing to receive it and you receive it, the law of the universe now dictates you have to give it. So if you want it, you have to give it. And most people are afraid to do that.
Most people, I think, would, you know, most likely are afraid to receive it as well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Very, very much so. It's been my experience that most people will run screaming when offered unconditional love.
Yeah.
Their ego is too threatened. They're not at a place where they're willing to accept that. And that's okay. You know, I show them as much as they can handle, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And the human ego has a very good system for filtering out the things it's not ready to hear. You know, it doesn't matter how truthful or how much I tell you. If you're not ready to hear it, you're only going to hear what you wanted to hear.
Yeah, literally sometimes where, you know, somebody will be sitting right in front of you and they'll tune out even kind of unconsciously and not hear what you just said or miss little bits and pieces of it.
Oh, yeah. But that's it's your ego's defense mechanism. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm hearing something I don't like. Turn it off.
Yeah.
And it'll delete it. It'll completely forget it. And it might be 2-3 years down the road, you'll remember it. You know, and it'll click in your life and you'll be like, oh, that's what they were talking about. Wow. Like, holy crap. I finally get it.
Yeah.
I'd totally forgotten about that. And here it is years later. That's the moment when you were actually ready to accept what you had learned 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's also where a lot of spiritual beings and light workers fall into a trap. Is they want to see immediate results because they need that confirmation. They need to feel like they're making that difference.
Yeah.
And sometimes that validation or that confirmation doesn't come for years. And so you have to be willing to let go of that.
Mm-hmm.
And just know that you did what you could do and you're not necessarily going to see all the results of that. But it doesn't mean you didn't do something profound.
Yeah, I think a lot of times you don't see the results of that. Do you know what I mean?
I've experienced that. We couldn't handle it if we could.
Yeah, because you'll sit with a client, you'll work with somebody, and they'll leave, and you'll never hear from them again. And then you have your ego that's running and playing games in your mind of what the hell did I just do? Was it what am I doing? Am I really helping or benefiting anybody? And all these kind of different things. But then you don't see the effects of maybe that. Like you said, whether it's 6 months, a year, 2 years later, something clicks in that person because of the exchange that you had with them, because of the seed that you planted and, the vibration that you shifted and or allowed to shift. And, I think that's the really neat thing. I love that aspect of it. I want to talk about, because the other thing that I saw that you're doing are these retreats. So talk to me about that and the whole idea and concept and how did that come to be?
Well, I feel like we're being asked as a species to move into a new way of living and a new way of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
I call it being heart-centered, and it's experiencing reality from the frequency of the divine or from the frequency of unconditional love. And we're all being asked to move into this energy in a new way. But in order to do that, we have to accept certain things, like the fact that the system that we're in right now isn't working.
Yeah, that's
and
obvious.
It's very hard for people to let go, even spiritual people.
Mm-hmm.
There are a great number of spiritual people that have businesses and are trying to make money off of spirit. And spirit does not like that.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't care about money. It doesn't care about whether you eat or not. It doesn't care about whether you sleep or not. Spirit is eternal. It doesn't understand third dimensional reality like the ego does. And so there's many conflicts that come from when you're trying to follow the path of spirit, but you're trying to do it in an egocentric way. I've run into this challenge many times in my own life because I wanted to open healing practices and do different things in different places, but it's always come up to a problem of money. And I've never been able to let go of this idea that healing from heart and spirit will never be compatible with the game of Monopoly.
Mm-hmm.
If you pull out your Monopoly board and look at it, there's no love spaces anywhere on that board. And there's only one conclusion to that game. One person walks away with everything and everybody else walks away with nothing. And so I'm tired of trying to fit spirituality into a materialistic box. And so I decided to open these retreat center as a way to invite people to get healing without them having to worry about money.
Mm-hmm.
It's completely charitable. You come, you experience. And if at the end of that experience you don't want to pay, don't. The only caveat I would add to that is, in order for this place to stay open for now, it has to survive on money.
Yeah.
I'm working towards sustainability so that we don't need it anymore. And we can just bypass it altogether. I can just say, come get healed.
Yeah.
I don't care who you are, what your story is, just come get healed. But we're not quite there yet. So what I'm asking is, if you come and you experience this, I want you to pay it forward. Any money that you donate for your experience will go towards the next person that comes to stay.
Mm-hmm.
So that if somebody comes along who can't afford it, they still get the opportunity.
Where's the retreat located?
It's in Huntsville.
Up in Huntsville.
But it's also, it's not, I'm not doing this at just one place either.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do this in many different locations. It's more about the experience of what it's like to be in nature and unplug from the matrix and get healed and get taken care of where you don't have to think about anything else.
Yeah.
That's the whole point of this. It's reconnecting with nature and just being for a little while, not having to worry about anything. It's kind of like a vacation.
It sounds like a nice vacation.
But it has a spiritual tone to it.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to be doing meditations. I'm going to be offering yoga. We're going to be cooking the meals. And then there's also lots of room to set up camping, tents, if you don't want to be inside the actual house.
Yeah.
You don't have to.
So is it in a home or somebody's house that's got property and things like that?
Yes. It's an actual house. It's 8 bedrooms, 2 levels, huge backyard, and it connects to some property that goes back into the wild where there's a river and there's trails and trees and all. It's literally a place you can come and relax and get lost.
Yeah, it sounds beautiful. I mean, we've been up to Huntsville a lot, and it's just such a beautiful valley up there. I love that area.
Yeah, but the whole point of the experience, like I said, is just to come and relax, deprogram, recharge, relax. You know, that it's very, very loosely structured. It's in all of the structure that is there, you certainly do not have to follow.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're not going to tell you to come and eat. We're not going to tell you you have to go sleep. We're not going to tell you you have to do meditation. We're not going to tell you you have to do yoga. It's completely optional. If you want to come up there and spend the entire day sitting in a chair staring at a tree, go for it. Like, this is literally the time for you to come up, and you have nobody telling you what to do. You have nothing to worry about. You need to unprogram, unplug, and just be. And in that process, I'm also going to be offering healings for the people that want them.
I was going to ask if you're going to have other people there that are be doing healings and other kind of, like, is that your intention or initially?
Yes. At the moment, I have 2 people that have contacted me and are interested in participating.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also opening that up to anybody that would like to. Like, if you want to volunteer, if being part of volunteering for a charitable retreat center that is focused on spirituality and healing is something that you want and you feel like you need to be doing, come.
Yeah.
I will find something for you to do. I will find a way for you to participate that sits well with you and suits what you need. If you show up to volunteer as a healer, I'm not going to make you go mow the lawn. You know, it's whatever your talents are. If you're a yoga instructor and you want to teach yoga, great.
Yeah.
If you're a groundskeeper and you enjoy planting and digging and doing compost and growing food, then come do that. We have lots of land to grow sustainable food. It's, like I said, it's a huge property. There's lots of potential there. So it's just a matter of having the volunteers that are willing to do it.
And what's the best way for people to get a hold of you if they are interested?
They can message me on Facebook or contact me directly.
Okay.
801-430-8777.
You're getting this started this summer, right? Like, when's the first one planned?
The first date of the retreat is June 25th.
That's what, like...
But the first night is reserved for healers only.
Oh, cool.
I'm healing the healers. I am aware of how burned out we have been.
Yeah.
How much work we have done and how many people are still struggling. And basically my message is you can't heal if you are broken.
Mm-hmm.
Come get healed for free. It doesn't cost you anything. Just show up. I'm not putting limitations on this. Please just show up.
Yeah.
Relax. We have plenty of space. You don't have anything to worry about. You don't have to heal anybody. You're here to heal you and be in a space where you are being taken care of. And this is my way of saying thank you and I love you for all the great work that you are doing. I do see you. And I'm going to call them out by name. Like, Anna, you're welcome. Allison, the director of the Saatchi Center, she is welcome. And anybody that's participating in OMFest is welcome. Rebecca, you're welcome. AJ, you're welcome. Tiffany, Dana, all of our friends at Lotus and Higher Grounds, Lindsay, Brady, Kelly, Michael, you're all welcome to come. You can bring your stuff if you want to, but you are not working.
Come
I
relax.
I am working. I am taking care of you.
Yeah.
Just come and be. That's all I'm asking.
Just how many days is it going to be?
In total, it's from the 25th to the 1st.
1st of July?
Yes. People can stay till the 1st, but most of the 1st is going to be the cleaning day, the tear down and put everything away. And
yeah.
So, but like I said, the 25th is reserved for healers. The healers are also welcome to come on any of the other days as well. But I'm saying the first night is healers healing. And then the 26th through the 1st will be open for whoever.
Yeah.
Whoever shows up.
So you mentioned the OMFest. I know you're involved with that too. So talk to me about that.
All right. Yes. The OMFest. I am excited about the Ogden OM Festival. I participated in it last year. I was a vendor and I sold my art and advertised my healing business. This year, I'm actually going to be doing healings. I'm going to help a little bit with the kids camp by supplying some materials and things that they need to do art projects. And then I was thinking about presenting, but I haven't decided yet.
And that's like a 3-day event, isn't it?
Yes.
It's up in Ogden. Tell me again where they host it.
It's at Fort Buenaventura in Ogden. It's just over the viaduct on 24th Street. And it's August 19th through the 21st.
Yeah.
There's lots of opportunities here. If you are a spiritual person in any way, shape, or form, or a religious person in any way, shape, or form, you can come to this. It is completely co-creational. It is non-denominational. There will be yoga, meditation, dance, art, vending, all kinds of stuff, camping. It's really a good deal, too, because you're getting a 3-day experience for like $40-$50.
Really, that's the ticket price for it?
That's the ticket price for all 3 days.
That's nice.
And that includes the camping.
Yeah.
So it's a really good deal. And you don't have to camp, obviously. You can just come and experience the festival if you want to. It was really great last year to see all the people that came out. I would like to see it at least 2 to 3 times that size this year.
Yeah.
I would like to invite all of the spiritual community to come and participate in some way, whether you want to be a presenter. If you do sound baths or some kind of sound experience, come present on stage. If you do meditations, we have a dome tent that you can come and do that. At some festivals, we've seen like a man's blue tent and a woman's red tent, where they do healing for the masculine and feminine. This year, we're going to try to do a purple tent, which is healing the masculine and the feminine.
Combining that.
Combined. I experienced a man's blue tent experience at Bach Tea Fest and Joshua Tree, led by Saul David Ray, and it changed my life. It was a beautiful, beautiful experience. And Dawn Cartwright is a tantric healer, and she led the women's tent. And at the end of this experience, they brought everybody out and we danced around each other, and it was one of the most healing experiences I've ever witnessed. And so I would love to bring that to OMFest.
That same kind of experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be way cool.
And it's, It's basically just understanding that we all have the masculine and the feminine within us. It doesn't matter what your sex is or what your sexual orientation is. You still have feminine aspects and you still have masculine aspects. And so if you can't heal that within yourself, you're going to project that out into reality. So if you don't like the feminine within yourself, you're going to take that out on women.
Yeah.
Or feminine men, you know, however you see that.
Mm-hmm.
And sadly, that's a big reason people are so violent when it comes to sexual standards.
Yeah.
They get trapped and they don't realize that what they're hating or pointing at or despising another being is exactly what they hate in themselves. So if they just look in the mirror and see why that's occurring, why do they hate their divine feminine or divine masculine so much? What happened to them?
Yeah.
What occurred that caused them so much damage that they hate themselves?
It's a difficult thing. That's a tough challenge.
And that's the hardest part for most people to deal with, is to have sympathy for the devil.
Yeah. It's a great song too.
It really is, but it's true.
Michael, you've been awesome, man. I really, really loved sitting down with you. It's super cool. I think we talked about some really neat stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you're a super interesting guy. Is there anything else that you want to throw out before we wrap up or anything?
Nope.
Nope. Well, thank you very much, Michael. And I'm glad that we finally got to meet, and I appreciate you taking the time to sit down. And thank you, everybody, for listening. Once again, it's the Energy is Love podcast, and you just got done enjoying a wonderful episode with Michael Phoenix. Go find him on Facebook. Go check him out. Contact him if you're interested in that healing retreat that's coming up later this month. And then I know that the Om Fest has a Facebook event page up. If you just get on Facebook and search the Om Fest up in Ogden in August, you'll be able to find out some more information about that as well. And Michael's going to be there. There's going to be a lot of cool people there. But thanks, everybody, for listening. And everybody, have a beautiful, wonderful day.
Separation is an illusion. Depends on what dimension you're in. I was no longer in my body. The universe is a huge place. Death is transcendable.